Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's turn our attention to the NBA as we can get a weekly look at what's going on in the association. We'll bring in Lang Green for basketballinsiders.com here on YSR. How are you, Lang?
What's going on, Tony? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Let's start with Golden State. Let's start with them at 31-2 and continuing to play tonight. Is Steph Curry injured, got a shin issue? If you're Golden State, how much are you cautious about where Steph Curry is right now?
I'm very cautious. This is a young team that's already won a championship. Guys are either nearing or at their prime. Guys are locked in for a long time. They have their core locked in financially for a while. You're already out to a 31-2, about to be 32-2 start. They're putting the beat down on Charlotte tonight. Why rush him back? I understand he's young. He wants to get out there and play. But at the, you know, at the end of the day, you got to have some maturity in the front office, people making the decisions to say, listen, young fella, you got maybe another couple MVP seasons in front of you. No need to go out there and chance it. The legs as a guard, that's what you need. Let's hold you back until you're 100%. We have the horses to still win at a high level in the Western Conference. We're playing for a bigger thing.
And when you saw that game against Dallas in which he was out, were you a little surprised that, hey, you know, losing Steph Curry is a big deal, but they just didn't seem to show the depth we believed that they had?
You know what? I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like the big brother, little brother kind of thing, where the little brother is always kind of tougher when the big brother's around. But that first day when the big brother leaves, the little brother has to kind of fend for himself. He finds out, you know, he has to adjust the way he played. And I think that's the way you saw Draymond Green and Klay Thompson in that Dallas game. I like the way Wesley Matthews got all up in Klay Thompson from the opening tip. Didn't let him get, you know, loose. Didn't let him get comfortable. But I think you've seen since when they really play without Steph that they kind of adjusted to a degree as much as you can without, you know, arguably the best player in the game today. But I think it just came down. It was a reality check that, hey, we have a guy that averages 30 points, 6-7 rebounds, 7-8 assists a game on our roster. And if we lose him, we need to learn how to play and adjust our style.
Lang, with so much attention on Golden State, and rightfully so, given the start that they've had, here are the San Antonio Spurs having one of their best years ever, and you're talking about a franchise that is steeped in excellent play. When you look at the gap between the Warriors and the Spurs, how close is it?
Oh, it's very close. Remember, this is a San Antonio Spurs team that added two pieces, like Kawhi Leonard and David West in the offseason. This team LaMarcus Aldridge and David West, this team is still gaining their chemistry. I mean, so they're not even running at full cylinders right now. They're not at maximum cohesion. Just imagine when we get to April how this team will be. The fact that they were, as of like last week, on pace to still win 67 games. And they have to be thanking the Golden State Warriors because this is right where San Antonio likes to be. Outside of the mainstream media attention, flowing through under the radar, but still producing in a way threatening 70 wins. It's amazing.
The Los Angeles Clippers have won six games in a row, and Blake Griffin has been out. How did they do that? How were they able to win so many games without Blake?
You know, I think it's a situation where one guy goes down, and they already know Blake Griffin is someone that can give you 25 and 10 on most nights. But when he goes down, I think you see a different side of Chris Paul. Earlier this season, they were, you know, monitoring his minutes a little bit. He was a little banged up. You didn't see the Chris Paul we are used to seeing. But when a guy like Blake Griffin goes out, you start to see, you start to realize and appreciate how good a player Chris Paul is. Because not only does he become from more of a floor general, he becomes more of an aggressive attacker, getting into the lane, getting guys into the spots they need to be, holding guys accountable. And it's one of those situations where you say, why can't you play like this all the time, that you see him in the playoffs do when he's there. But it's always good to have a guy like Chris Paul, you know, that can kind of rally the troops. He doesn't put up, you know, mind-boggling numbers like a Russell Westbrook or a Stephen Curry. But make no mistake, Chris Paul is right up there in terms of their level.
Lang, the Western Conference, and we're staying in the Western Conference before we go to the East. because of Golden State's success, because of San Antonio's success, has it diminished the quality of the other teams in the top eight? Western Conference has been a very, very strong conference, one all the way down to, let's say, seven. Teams could beat you. You could throw names in a hat. But because of the success of the Warriors and Spurs, is that diminishing the quality of the other teams like the Grizzlies and the Rockets, or are they struggling and as just not as good or not as intimidating?
I don't know if it diminishes the quality of those teams, but I think the amount of separation between the Golden State Warriors, the San Antonio Spurs, and everyone else, I think that has grown. And I think that's what's making the conference look like it's really taking a step back. Of course, the Rockets have started the season kind of on a slide, but you still have teams like OKC. You still have teams like the Clippers that are still upper echelon teams any other year, but the level of separation between a team like San Antonio right now and Golden State, it just makes you look at the rest of the conference and say, wow, what happened to you guys? No, nothing happened. It's just that gap from last April where everybody was, you know, so tight in the Western Conference till now, it's just grown so wide.
In the East, it looks like we're the Cleveland Cavaliers are the number one. There's not a lot of difference between two and all the way down to eight. Am I reading that right? Or are the Bulls, Heat, Hawks, are they much better than, let's say, Pacers, Celtics, Raptors?
I tell you what, everybody in the East outside the Cleveland Cavaliers could be lumped in one bucket in terms of one through five. I think when you start getting down to seven, eight, you know, your Orlando's, your Detroit's, I think you start saying, okay, there's a level of separation there. But when you look at Toronto, Atlanta, Chicago, Indiana, I think those teams, you know, are basically similar. Any given night, flip a coin, as of right now, they haven't really proven to be any different amongst each other. I think they're all solid teams. I think they're all teams that could have success in the playoffs. When you start talking about trying to knock off the big dog on a block in the East and the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tony, I don't think any of those teams at this point in time has shown me enough to take out LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and crew.
When you saw the Christmas game between the Cavs and the Warriors, is there anything that you saw down the line that where the Cavaliers are compared to a team like Golden State? Because when you start thinking about having to beat a team like Golden State or even San Antonio four out of seven times, it takes sort of a special organization, a mindset to do it. Did Cleveland learn anything early in the season in that game to sort of give them an idea where they're at?
I tell you what, Golden State came out the victor. But I looked at that Christmas game for a couple other things. I looked at it to see how the Cavaliers were going to be able to control the pace of the game, number one. Then I looked at it to see how they were going to control the physicality of the game. And I think that Cleveland controlled the pace. They didn't let the Warriors play their, you know, normal, potent, up-and-down, frenetic frenzy type of offense. And then they were physical. Remember, outside of that game, Stephen Curry, he came out of that game a little banged up. Was a low-scoring affair, relatively speaking, for the Warriors. I think even though Cleveland lost that game, I think they were able to prove, at least in my eyes, that, hey, we can control the tempo. And once we get our squad 100% healthy, it could be a series again in a seven-game series that, you know, we'll be competitive in.
And how smart is LeBron going to have to be down the stretch to get some pacing so that everything is sort of, you know, when he gets to the postseason, he's ready. He's got so many minutes piled up. Is there got to be some internal pacing on LeBron's part to make sure that when we get to April, he's all set?
No doubt about it. The Cleveland is going to have to do that. Earlier this season, you saw they really took a step in terms of getting Kevin Love more involved in the offense. His usage rate compared to last year is up significantly during the early part of the season. I think that was LeBron James saying, okay, I need you to carry the load a little bit more. And now with Kyrie Irving coming back, I think you will see a little bit less of LeBron James toward the second half of the season. I think the team will reduce his minutes. I think the team will rest him, you know, maybe in that last month and a half here and there. I think they're going to try to really preserve him for the playoffs. That's what it's all about for LeBron right now. When you look at his NBA Finals streak, you know, in terms of appearances, he's playing for a bigger prize, too. And I think Cleveland's going to have to be smart with him. A lot of miles on this odometer right now, even though he's still, you know, 31 years old. But he has a lot of miles. Been in the league for a while, a lot of finals appearances, a lot of long playoff runs. He's not going to be able to keep playing 37, 38 minutes a night throughout each regular season and expect to be at maximum efficiency during the playoffs.
All right, I know, Lang, I'm going kind of further down the road into the playoffs, and I know it's only January. We've got a long way to go. But the Miami Heat, I want to ask you about them, because this is a team that's playing pretty good defense. And in the playoffs, I like a team that can really put you in the grinder every single night when we get to the postseason. Are the Heat a dangerous team in the playoffs? Will the Heat be a dangerous team in the playoffs?
The Heat are a dangerous team. Like, I'll tell you like this. I think Cleveland is just too potent for them. I think they have too many weapons to stop in a 7-game series. But let me tell you something, Tony. If you see an Atlanta Hawks team get a 2-seed against a 7-seed Miami Heat team or a 3-6 matchup, hey, watch out, because that's the type of physical mauling, slow you down, get you frustrated. All of a sudden, you think you're doing well, you look at the score, you're down 6. That the Miami Heat, I mean, they have a big man inside, Hassan Whiteside. Of course, they have the veterans, future Hall of Famers, Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Great coaching. Goran Dragic is a solid floor general. That's a team that, depending on the matchup, I'm liking them kind of like to the Memphis Grizzlies out west. You might be able to beat them in a 7-game series, but you don't want to face them.
Lang Green, great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you so much. Hope to catch up with you soon.
No doubt, Tony. Anytime.
You got it. Basketball Insiders is the website. Good stuff there. If you follow the NBA and, of course, hoops in general, check it out. BasketballInsiders.com. We like to give you a weekly taste of what's going on in the association. And not a lot has changed. Cleveland is still the top of the East, Golden State and San Antonio. But there are some nuances going on with teams, especially down in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference. 800-777-2907, the number, as we continue through the night. NFL Black Monday, not so black, but we will get a look at some of the changes that are coming in the coaching carousel. That's next on Yahoo Sports Radio. Tony.